What's up? Welcome into Lambo Speak, episode number 27. This is our week 14 letdown after the Giants-Packers game on Monday Night Football. This is a Toast Titles Podcast Network production. I'm Nate Wallen. You can find me on Twitter at Nate_Dirt19. I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Bobby A. Winter. You can find him on Twitter at Bobby A. Winter. Bobby, how you doing tonight, man?
You know, after watching that game yesterday, it was tough because, you know, the Packers were coming off, you know, a hot streak. And it sort of started to look like, you know, they were turning back into a pumpkin. But, you know, I'm doing good. I'm still pretty optimistic. I was reading that, you know, even if they lost one game and still win out, they have a 99% chance to make the playoffs. So who knows? Maybe it was just a flunky game. How about you?
Yeah, I have some reasons why here we'll talk about in a minute. And I mean, there's like, what, six or seven teams that are like 6-7 or whatever right there in the hunt?
Yeah, like half the NFC.
Yeah. So, and Joe Clark, of course, our resident Giants fan, let down. That was a great game. Yeah. For you. I appreciate him not texting me last night. He's not that kind of guy, though. So I didn't think he'd do that anyways. But you can find the show on Twitter at Toast Titles. You can find everything we do, all our content, articles, mock drafts, rankings for fantasy and all that on our website at toasttitles.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe button. We would appreciate that. And if you want to get in our Gilded chat, that is for free. Anybody can get in if they want. Hit us up. You can email the show at toiletstitles@gmail.com. I'm sorry. And we'll get you in there. You can just DM any one of us to get in there. We talk anything from fantasy football, DFS, gambling stuff, college, NFL, just all of it. So check it out. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, so the Packers lose 24. I can't talk to that. I'm sorry. 24-22 to the Giants on Monday Night Football. You know, they came out pretty flat. They went into halftime leading 10-7 somehow, but ended up, you know, losing. It just seemed like from the get go, things weren't really firing on all cylinders like they had. I don't know. You know, the primetime game against the Raiders, Jordan Love struggled. I don't know if the stage was too big for him. I kind of thought that at first, you know, without getting too far ahead of ourselves. But that last drive, I thought he did really, really well. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think that's the case. I think it's more LaFleur, but we can talk about that later. I know we have different opinions, so that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you were saying, on those first couple of drives, Love was just missing throws. Yeah. I mean, he had a lot of errant throws where you're like, you know, a week or 2 weeks ago, like he was money. I mean, he wasn't missing throws at all. I don't know. And obviously, like with the him being the first time starter, we have to always parse everything with, you know, we have to be prepared for the inconsistencies. But, you know, with the way that he'd been playing over the last couple of weeks, I thought that, you know, he had kind of like ironed this kind of stuff out. And, you know, he's played in primetime before. I don't think that maybe that was it. And like you said, you know, when the ball was in his hands, he did the thing. You know, yeah. They did score a touchdown when they needed to score a touchdown. You know, the defense, it kind of let us down. I mean, there was plenty of time. The Giants still had two timeouts left, but the way the defense was called, which we'll get into in a little bit, I mean, that really sunk any chance that we had of winning that game.
Yeah, and the special teams was pretty poor too. We played pretty poor on all three levels. Not a like, you know, disciplinary kind of play. Not disciplinary, that's not the word I want, but like just like poor discipline, it seemed like, you know. And it was frustrating to watch. You know, I was sitting with Abe, who I do Toast Titles After Dark tomorrow night on Wednesday night. You can tune in for all our uncensored content on how we feel about the Packers and other games. But, you know, it felt like LaFleur went back to the offense that struggled and was real clunky and shitty that we, you know, what, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago that we were trying to do stuff. You know, the last 3 weeks thing seems like it was a different offense almost. And then, like, you know, we're back to these out routes that, you know, like I said, those are hard throws for quarterbacks to make. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, like, if you want to make a game easy for the guy, throw the ball between the hash marks, between the numbers. You know, it's always open. And, right. You know, when he needed to. You know, he audibled Tucker Kraft, hit him down the seam for what, 40 some yards on that last drive. It's like, beautiful. Why are we not doing that? You know, that throwing the ball straight in front of you is a lot easier than throwing it to the side. I don't know why he continues to try to make Love make those, you know, difficult throws. I know he can make some of them, but not consistently right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's frustrating to watch that, you know, and we can say it now, like, you know, the 15 god dang end around reverses we ran, like, it's good once, but stop running the same play, you know. And, and the most frustrating one was that, you know, the 2-point conversion. Those guys are like so lackadaisical and act like a 2-point conversion is just, it's whatever, who gives a shit? Like, it's not. That's really important. We score there, it's overtime,
right? Absolutely. You know? And watching the game too, I said, I was watching it with my brother, was sitting next to me, and I was like, you know, if they don't make this 2-point conversion, the game's probably over.
Yeah.
Because they just had so much time left with two timeouts, and the way that he'd been playing in the second half, their starting quarterback, Mr. Cutlets, he really turned it on. Cause honestly, the Giants started slow too. I mean, this is one of the sloppiest games of football I've ever watched.
Not as bad as the Vikings Raiders game Sunday. That was 3-0, but pretty damn close.
Absolutely. I mean, there was penalties by both teams. There was crazy fumbles that just like never would happen in any game. Like the Keyshawn Nixon fumble. He dropped the ball, picked it back up, and then decided instead of just living for another play, was like, oh, I can salvage this. And, you know, before he knew it, he was being clobbered by Giants players and fumbled again. So like, he could have just stayed on top of it. Like that one, that's just like an unorthodox play. Like that's not something that happens week in and week out, you know? And then same thing with the Saquon Barkley fumble, you know,
that was his third fumble in like 1400 carries.
Right.
In his career.
But he fumbled the ball. Like he just like, yes, that player did touch him or whatever, but he regained his steps and then kind of just like tripped over his own legs.
It was the same as, I think it was against the Rams. Was it Malik Heath or Dontavian Wicks like slipped and fell and the ball came out? Like he's not giving himself up. That's a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the same thing, you know, like, yeah, it sucks. Like it kind of looks not like, but I mean, that it is what it is, but yeah, Keyshawn Nixon played horribly yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, that should have been a personal foul when he drilled Danny DeVito right before he fumbled the ball twice. And then he got burnt by Wandale Robinson all game.
Final drive.
In the final drive, especially, like he didn't even look like he was trying on that one pass. Like he was like walking almost. And I don't know. I still think that he would be much better suited if he wasn't playing every down, not every down, but you know, as much as he is on defense. I know he's made some good plays, but it's tough.
Well, I think that once Stokes is back in the lineup, I mean, one thing that we have to remember is, yeah, he was the preferred starter coming into the year, but with the injuries that we have now and with Rasul Douglas being traded, I mean, the cornerback position is pretty thin. Yeah. But I heard, and I don't know if this is 100%, but that Stokes could be activated this week. I mean, I know he's already activated, but I mean, like he could be playing possibly next week, which would be huge. I really don't understand what's going on with Jair because he's missed now, what, 5 games straight?
Mm-hmm.
So they could have put him on IR, you know? So I don't really know what's happening with him. I don't know if it's injury related, but it kind of smells a little bit like what Za'Darius Smith was doing that one year. You know, they put him on IR and then all of a sudden he was he was on the active roster. He just wasn't playing. But then all of a sudden, like they made the playoffs and then he could play again. And then all of a sudden he wasn't on the team anymore. So I'm really hoping it's not that, but I don't know. Just something just doesn't smell right about that situation.
Yeah. I don't know. He was saying, I think I saw something the other day, you know, he doesn't feel 100%, you know, and I get that. I feel like he came back. Well, has it been 5 games? I feel like he played somewhere in between here, but like didn't play the whole game. Then I could be completely wrong. That's for some reason, you know, like he played and re-injured something or re-aggravated it. I don't know. It's hard. You know, I just feel like he's almost kind of, you know, doesn't trust it or whatever. And I could be wrong. I don't know. That's just kind of how it feels. You know, I thought the secondary did not play very well when needed to. I mean, you know, like that the same on that third and nine or whatever when Bellinger got a first down. That dude's wide open. I could have ran for that first down. I'm slow as shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are we so far off here? You know, Danny DeVito is not going to throw the ball 30 yards downfield. I don't think he can throw the ball that far. No offense to that guy. Whatever. He's probably listening to us in his parents' basement like I am. I mean, I'm not really in my parents' basement, but like, I don't know. You know, why is Enagbare not like the spy and just standing there and waiting for him? Because like every time they do like a read option, you know he's keeping the ball because nobody thinks he's going to run it. Hell, Matt Breida, we were making him look like Emmitt Smith. I mean, which is normal for anybody that runs against us. It's going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, this is week in, week out for the last couple of years.
Joe Barry.
We have to come to expect it.
I don't know why. Like, people are like, oh, well, it's just that. No, he sucks. It sucks. It's always sucked. It sucked in Detroit when they were 0-16. It still sucks. Like I said, if somebody shows you who they are, believe him. I've said that so many times. I don't know what he's still here for. And I'm not trying to protect my guy, Rich Bisaccia, because the special teams has looked like crap lately.
Yeah.
And the offense does too, and LaFleur, whatever. But what are we waiting for? What's going to change? Nothing ever changes. That we've never been able to stop the run. We dump thousands of assets into the defense, and it never changes. You know, there's no like, you know, no ingenuity, nothing new, nothing. You know, we're not really, we don't bring pressure. The only time somehow the last 2 weeks we got a bunch of pressure with four guys. I don't know what was different. I mean, playing from in front, I guess. But, you know, it's not like you were playing against the quarterback last night that, you know, there's a threat of him doing. It's not like it's Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, that's what kind of blows my mind about this is I think maybe what they were anticipating was for them to run the ball a lot, which makes sense, right? Like this guy, it's what, his third or fourth start, undrafted rookie, you know, nobody thought that this guy was going to be playing meaningful snaps this year. So if the defensive game plan consisted of them always thinking run first, great, but they weren't stopping the run. So I understand if they didn't get a lot of pressure because like the Giants offensive line has let up more sacks than any other team.
And we didn't get this one year.
And we didn't get one, which leads me to believe, you know, like you were saying, like when you're playing from the lead or whatever, then your outside linebackers or edge rushers or whatever, they could just pin their ears back because they are thinking it's likely going to be a pass, you know, because think about how much time there is between the snap of the ball, play recognition, and then the play being executed. Yep. Like you have to go into it thinking, okay, this is a likely pass down or it's a likely run down. So I don't blame them for thinking, hey, let's think run first, you know, because he's probably not going to throw that much, but they didn't stop the run. If even that was their mentality. So that's what's so frustrating to me is they weren't getting pressure when it was a passing down. And even when they were running it, they still let up 200 yards rushing.
And Saquon only had, I mean, till that last like couple runs, Saquon had like 15 carries for 30 yards and two touchdowns. DeVito was running all over it.
Right. They did contain Saquon for the majority of the game, which is impressive. But like you were saying, like they didn't really have a good spy on him until about halfway through the third quarter. You notice that Campbell was just kind of sitting there spying him for the second half of the game.
I just don't know what Joe Barry, like what's he watching before this? Was he watching like an Eli Manning Super Bowl highlight reel? Like that's who we're playing. Like literally like put nine guys in the box, make him throw the football.
Right. And so this leads me to the thing. I mean, this was the game, the final drive.
Yeah.
Right. The final drive, he played in prevent defense until they got to about the Packers 40. Right. So it kind of seemed that I had this impression when I was watching the game that like, you know, those books for dummies. So it's like, you know, if you want to learn how to code, it's coding for dummies or whatever. Yeah. It was like how to play defense in the fourth quarter for dummies. You know, and so it's like, oh, final drive, put your defense in prevent and try to prevent the big play. Well, like it almost seemed like situational football just didn't occur to him.
No, like, we don't know situational football in Green Bay. That is not something we do.
Correct. So fourth quarter, a minute and a half, a little bit more than a minute and a half and two timeouts. With an inexperienced quarterback and a team that has run the ball up and down the field. They knew that it was going to be short game running. Yet he has the corners playing 15 to 20 yards off the line of scrimmage. And everybody knows that in the 2-minute offense, You got to look for the check down. The check down is where they're going to go to keep the chains moving, to get close enough for a field goal. And he's playing like there's 20 seconds left and they're at the 20 and they have no timeouts. It just blows my mind. He let them march down the field. And by the time that he condensed the defense, it was too late because they hadn't used any of their timeouts. They still had plenty of time. It just, it blew my mind that that is what lost us the game. I mean, other than Keyshawn Nixon just straight up not guarding Wandale Robinson on that one catch, that one huge catch that he had for like, I think it was 20 yards that really got them down the field. It just, the offense did what they needed to do. Now, were they perfect either? No. You know what I mean? But the game always comes down to, especially in the tight games, what happens in the last couple of minutes. Jordan Love, let's be real, he sucked in the first quarter. But he got better as the game went on. And in that final drive, he was excellent. I mean, in my opinion, that first play that they didn't call a touchdown, that it was actually like a drop incomplete pass or whatever, I thought that was a touchdown. Even Troy Aikman thought it was a touchdown because he caught it, took two steps, and then the player knocked it out of his hands. I don't understand how that's not a touchdown.
The first view I saw of it, and in slow-mo, I'm like, oh, that's a touchdown. Then when they put it in like real time and from the side, it didn't look as much like a touchdown, but it was still like super, super close. But that catch that Malik Heath made was, holy shit.
Like, fantastic. And it was a perfect throw. He put it right where it needed to be. And he made sure that he had enough depth on it. Because let's be real. If Love threw that 6 inches shorter, that wouldn't have been a touchdown.
No.
So it was perfect placement.
End around reverse. You know, let's give Jaden Reed the ball 12 yards deep.
Yeah.
And try it. You know, AJ Dillon's averaged 3.5 yards a carry. But we're going to give it to Jaden Reed around end around like at the 15-yard line.
I get what he was thinking there. Cause in the beginning of the game, they couldn't stop it. I mean, Jaden Reed literally scored a touchdown on that play. So I get the whole, hey, we're going to run it until they stop it thing, but they did.
They'd stopped it like five times. And they kept
running it. And I just couldn't understand. I was like, all right, I know that it's just AJ Dillon. Basically, I know Patrick Taylor had a couple of really nice carries as well. I think he averaged like 7.5 yards a carry. Actually. Yeah. He didn't get accepted
in the first half, I mean, whatever, burn a timeout. It didn't really matter anyways. Like, it did, it didn't. But,
yeah. I mean, Jaden Reed was 4 for 38. He averaged 9.5 yards a carry.
8 catches, too.
Yeah. I mean,
against a garbage slot corner. Why are, like, that's what I didn't get either. Like, throw him the ball.
Yeah.
Like I said, LaFleur's game plan was, I don't know what the hell it was, but it felt like the old offense, not what we've been doing. That's what's so frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I get it. You don't expect to win every game. I don't expect to win every game. It's hard to win games in the NFL, but to look this bad and make that team, no offense, Joe, look that good. I didn't look that good, I guess, but like their defense looked good. You know, it's, you know, 5 of 14 on third down. Terrible. I mean, they were 3 of 10 on third down. So
yeah. Sloppy football. It was sloppy football by both teams. Honestly, in my opinion, neither team played well enough to win. It just kind of came down to, you know, all right, well, who has the most points at the end of this slop fest? You know what I mean? I don't want to take anything away from the Giants, that drive that they put together at the end. You know, they did the thing. You know what I mean? We're talking about Jordan Love doing the thing. Well, the Giants did the thing too, but the Packers just made it especially easy for them to accomplish, you know?
Yeah.
It's disappointing, but you know, it's good to see. There was some positives from this game. Tucker Kraft's balling, man. He had four catches for 64 yards. He's averaging 16 yards now. Obviously, one of them was that huge play, but that's an element that's been missing from this team for years, stretching the middle of the field. Like you said, we should be doing it more often, but you know, Tucker Kraft's only been the preferred starter on this team for a couple of weeks now due to the injury to not Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, he's on the Bills. Close enough.
Wrong, highly drafted tight end prospect from the 2023 NFL draft. But Luke Musgrave. So that's encouraging to see because, you know, I've said it before. I thought Tucker Kraft should have went a lot sooner in the NFL draft. And getting the ball in Jaden Reed's hands as often as you can is never a bad idea. I mean, nobody touched the ball more than Jaden Reed did except for AJ Dillon. And he was the workhorse running back because he's the guy right now with Aaron Jones being out. You know, he had 12 touches, which is tremendous. I wish the rest of the team, I don't think a lot of the offensive production or the lack of offensive production in the first half was due to the skill position players. I think it was more just Jordan Love, just, I don't know, putting it together. He had some really terrible throws in the first half, but you know, when it mattered, he put it together.
And that, like I said, the triple end around flea flicker play, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that was too much. It was too much window dressing, especially with the way that that team's been playing. I mean, they blitzed on over 50% of their plays.
I just, that play, I was like, you know, thank God Jordan threw it away and didn't lose 20 yards. There was also the screenplay to AJ Dillon where he lost like 9 yards because, you know, he got ran into by Elton Jenkins getting just bull rushed or whatever. And like, there were just a lot of miscues. And I think we averaged like 4 yards a pass or something, 5 yards a pass, 4 yards a carry. Like, just, like I said, we had one good drive, you know, that obviously that we needed. And that's good to see.
And actually on that screen pass that you were mentioning, the one to AJ Dillon where he got knocked over and Love still threw it to him. I mean, that will come with experience. So like, obviously looking back, you would be like, what are you doing, man? Don't throw it to him. Just throw it in the dirt and live for another play. You know, it's not intentional grounding if he throws it at AJ Dillon's feet, you know? Yeah. So instead of losing 9 yards, you just, whatever. Okay. Lost it down. Let's move on to the next down. But I think he panicked and in a split second decision was just like, hey, let me still, you know, try to finish the play. But it was at that point, it's the same thing with the Keyshawn Nixon thing. It's just, hey man, this got blown up. Let's just lick our wounds and live for the next down. Let's not try to compound this and make this worse. And it just seemed like every time they had an opportunity to do that, they didn't.
You know, and I love Keyshawn Nixon. I know I said he played horrible because he did. Like, part of like his downfall, and I think it's like a kick returner thing. If you're a good kick returner, like, you want to be a hero. That's what they do. Oh, you know, like, he always, you know, if it's 8 yards deep, he's wanting to return it, you know, sure, whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, run it back. But
he's been feeling himself.
You know, that's also the downfall of the kick returner. Like I said, he fumbles it. We're going to pick it up. We're going to do it. Now, you know, just like you said, let's live to play another down. And you know, the Rudy Ford penalty, where you got killed, Gunnar Olszewski or whatever, like, wrong place, wrong time. That was a pretty good play by the, you know, guy that was blocking him, kind of like setting him up for it. You know, there was a couple things like that. That was the worst punt I've ever seen Waylon hit. You know, usually he's been money. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. It's frustrating, but, you know, we got to regroup and go home, and hopefully Baker Mayfield doesn't come tear us apart. Luckily, I think it'll be cold. That should help. You know, but I guess you got anything else on the game before we move on? I can't think of anything else off the top of my head that I wanted to rant about. I was already pretty pissed off, so.
Yeah, injury-wise, you know, Darnell Savage came out of the game. So
Danny DeVito laid the hammer to him.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. He, like, went to the sidelines, took off his helmet, and then just, like, never put it back on. So I don't know what's going on with him. Hopefully he's all right. You know, I thought we would have seen a little bit more from Jonathan Owens, but I guess now with Darnell Savage back in the lineup, you know, Owens is going to get a little bit less playing time. Cause I thought Owens has really started to grow more into this defense. I was kind of excited to see that. Yeah. Cause you know, sometimes it takes a while for players to mesh, especially on a new team and a new defensive system and stuff like that. So seeing him grow and get better over the course of the season, I was excited to see a little bit more of him. And Devontae Wyatt went out and then back into the game and then back out. So I hope he's all right. You know, actually Isaiah McDuffie, what do you think of Isaiah McDuffie?
I've always loved him. I loved him in the draft out of Boston College. He's a stud.
I agree.
Good run stuff. He's a good run stopper. He's not as good in pass coverage as Quay and DeAndre, but like, he's a damn good linebacker.
Yeah. I was going to say, man, he's kind of a tackling machine and he tackles aggressively, man. Yeah. Like that, like old school football.
He doesn't just like arm tackle and like miss tackles like most of the Packers do. He actually like wraps you up and puts you in the ground.
Yeah, I could tell why they have a roster spot for this guy.
He's a really good special out there.
Yeah, so I mean, you love to see that. And Anders, he did miss the one field goal.
I knew he was missing that kick.
Yeah.
I just knew it. We lined up. I'm like, he's going to miss this kick.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, they missed a kick. We missed a kick. It's not why we lost the game. You know what I mean? We lost the game because we didn't complete that 2-point conversion and because the defense played in prevent.
Well, you can't win games just kicking field goals. So
true story.
I mean,
well, unless it's the Vikings and the Raiders.
That was a sweet game too. And Dontayvion Wicks, I see something about a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, he came out of the game as well. He actually, it was on that last drive. So we didn't get any injury updates. I think because they played on Monday, the report comes out tomorrow. So we'll have to take a look at that. I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get on to, I always want to talk about our Patreon, patreon.com/toiletstitles. We would appreciate the support if you want to. Those of you that are members, we do appreciate you guys. We got a lot of good giveaways and things going on right now. Some more coming up throughout the rest of the season. You know, if you got questions, want to hit us up, let us know. We'll get you in there. It's as cheap as $1.50 a month. I mean, that's cheaper than pretty much anything you can buy now. So, yeah, check it out. We'd love to have you. So, moving on to week 15, have the Buccaneers coming to town. I don't know what to think about this game now. You know, it depends on how Baker Mayfield plays. There's days where he looks really good and they play really well. And sometimes they, you know, they're a little flat. Their defense is not as good as it used to be. Still, Todd Bowles is going to have the guys ready. I think they'll have them ready to go. The defense will still be good. I think the playing at home is going to help. You know, I think that's kind of, you know, especially with the young guys like this, I think they like playing at home. I think they're a little more comfortable at home.
For sure.
You know, and I don't know what the weather, I assume it'll be, you know, 20 to 30 degrees up there, something like that. I haven't checked, so I don't really read the weather. I just look in the morning if I need to put long johns on or not. That's all I do for my weather at work. So,
yeah, I'm not waking up checking the weather in the central time zone. No. But,
you cold. Know, the one thing that it's cold and windy right now.
Yeah, it's same here. The one thing, you know, with Baker is he did play in the NFC or the AFC North for 4+ years. So, you know, he's used to playing in the elements. He's used to playing in the cold. And the last time he played in Lambeau when he was on the Browns, he actually had kind of a decent game. That game was a lot closer than it probably should have been. So it's really everybody else on the team. And like you said, you never know which Baker Mayfield's going to show up. So this would be one of those games where I'm like, man, I wouldn't bet on this game. You know, and really this whole season's kind of been like that. Did you see how many underdogs won this past week?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I wish I had a bet on them all. I didn't.
Yeah, but seriously. It was half the games the underdog won. So, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, if you asked me a week ago today, I would have been like, the Packers aren't going to lose again for the rest of the season. And then, you know, they play like this and I'm like, oh, right. They are mortal. You know, they do make mistakes and you could always chalk it up to, it was a bad game. Because look, they made mistakes, they got through it, and then they started to play better in the second half, you know? So, I mean, we got Buccaneers coming up on Sunday. That's a 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central.
40 and sunny on Sunday, by the way. So actually pretty nice weather.
Yeah. And then, you know, Panthers the following week, also 1 o'clock game. It still looks like the Vikings and Packers are set for Sunday night football, which is fantastic, unless it gets flexed. But I mean, if the Packers and Vikings are competitive in the NFC playoff race, I would imagine it would stay there. And then, it's just we just got to kind of keep an eye on all these other 6 and 7 teams. And I mean, the math is there. As long as we win out from this point on, we have a 99% chance to make the playoffs. So it comes to a point where, you know, if they win out, I'll be glad that they made the playoffs because that means they're competitive. But if it's like, you know, they win 2 out of the next 4 and they kind of get in on a technicality or something like that, like I wouldn't really feel good about it, you know, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't know what, you know, what to expect or what to think. You know, like I kind of agree with you, you know, you want to see them win, you know, win and get in and play well, you know, in all three phases. To be honest, I need to see all of them play well together. You know, I just looked at the Bucks beat the Falcons last week by 4 on like a, there's like 30 seconds to go. Baker Mayfield was like 14 of 25 or 29, 2 touchdowns. Rashad White carried the ball for 100 yards, but you know, so I don't know what, I guess I haven't really paid much attention to their offense like I had in the past years, you know, with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I know Mike Evans but over 1,000 yards again because he does every year, but
yeah, future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's incredible.
I don't know what, I guess I don't know what to think. It just depends on what game plan. Like I said, if we go back to, you know, the Chiefs Lions game plan, I don't know if he thinks that like, oh, they got tape on us now, so we can't do this again. But like, I was just dumbfounded. It just baffled me to watch, you know, play after play where it was like, what are we doing? You know,
any team that makes noise in the playoffs, they get hot at the right time. They get hot at the end of the season. Yep. And there's not that many games left for them to get hot at the end of the season. We got 4 more opportunities. Granted, you know, 4 teams that don't have winning records, you know. So if they're going to do it, this is the time to get right. This is 4 potential get right games. So if they're going to do it, they got to do it now. If they're not going to do it, then okay. Then we have our evaluation for the year, and they know what they're going to need to do going forward for this team.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's not much else. That is it. And, you know, like I said, hopefully we'll be back next Sunday and get to talk about, you know, a win against the Buccaneers. And, I don't know. They're more than capable. Just depends on who shows up and, you know, if they're prepared and ready to go. And,
this is the same team. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Lions. They beat the Chargers. This is that same team.
They beat the Chiefs and Lions. I don't put the Chargers in that echelon. They stink.
Right. But
they should be good.
They still have Justin Herbert.
They still have Keenan Allen.
I'm joking. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the Chargers are the Chargers, but I mean, it's still a really good offense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have talent. It's just for some reason, they just can't put it all together.
Yep. But, so like I said, I have confidence. I'm fully confident we could, you know, we should win. But I also thought that last night.
Yep. Same. look, I still would not be surprised if they went out. I wouldn't be. I'd be disappointed if they only won 2 of the next 4. But
yeah,
because I think that they're better than that. I think that they could win the next 4 games.
Yeah,
win the next 4 games.
I don't know who I was talking. They're like, well, you know, it's an evaluation year, this, that, and the other. Blah, blah. I said, I get that. I said, I'm not mad that we lost. I'm mad that the way we lost. You know that.
Right.
That's what's frustrating is losing like that. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
It's one thing you get beat by a team that, you know, a better team that, you know, whatever, just get outplayed. But we just got outcoached last night. That was the most 100%. Frustrating part of the whole thing was just getting
100%.
God, it looked like a week 2 NCAA game when Alabama plays Texas ACM, B and G and get beat by 900. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah, they don't have DeVito.
They certainly
wish they did. They'd probably be off though. They'd probably be doing a lot better with him.
Hey, I tell you what, man, they might have something in DeVito. You know, he played with confidence. He looked.
We could bench that $40 million Danny Dimes. No chance.
You know, I sorry, Joe. I said it to you once before, but I have no idea what they were thinking when they signed that contract. It's like they overlooked how he played for the first 4 years in the league, and they were like, that didn't happen. It's like, no, it did. He had more turnovers than any other quarterback in the league.
Joe knows they love their own guys. That's how the Giants have always been. They've always, that's what they do. They want to keep their guys. I get it. You know, it's tough.
They have Danny DeVito. Or not Danny DeVito. I did it again.
I'm so glad I actually call him that. That's what I call him. I don't call him. It's Danny DeVito. I love Danny DeVito. Hell yeah. Well, that's all we got. We'll be back next Sunday after the Packers-Bucks game, hopefully with a better result than last week. Thank you all for tuning in. Check out the show at Toad Styles. Check out our website, toadstyles.com. Hit us up if you want to get in our Gilded chat. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/toadstyles. And thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you all next week. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.